second story hung way out over the ground floor, and right under the eaves was a leaden spout with a dragon's head. Rainwater was supposed to run out of the dragon's mouth, but it came from his belly instead, for there was a hole in it. All of the other houses in the street were so neat and modern, with large window panes and smooth walls, that you could easily tell they would have nothing to do with the old house. They evidently thought, "How long do you suppose that decrepit old thing is going to stand there making an eyesore of our street? And that bay window stands so far out we can't see from our windows what's happening in that direction. Those front steps are as broad as those of a palace, and as high as those which go up to a church tower. The iron railings? They look like the door to an old family vault, and those dreadful brass rails on them. It makes one feel ashamed." Across the street were other neat and modern houses, and they thought the same way. But at the window in the house directly opposite sat a little boy, with bright, shiny eyes and fresh, rosy cheeks, and he liked the old house best of all those on the street, whether by sunshine or by moonlight. When he looked across at the wall where the mortar had fallen out, he could imagine the strangest pictures. He could see the street as it was in the old days. He could see the soldiers with halberds, and the houses with their steps and projecting windows and pointed gables, and rain spouts in the shapes of dragons and serpents. Yes, to him, that was indeed a house worth looking at. An old man lived over there. An old man who wore old-fashioned plush breeches and a coat with big brass buttons and a wig that you could plainly tell was a real one. Every morning, an old male servant came to put the rooms in order and do the marketing. But aside from that, the old man in the plush breeches lived all alone in his old house. Sometimes he came to the window and looked out, and the little boy waved at him, and the old man waved back, and so they became acquaintances, and then friends. Of course, they had never spoken to each other, but that really made no difference. One day the little boy heard his parents say, "The old man over there is very well to do, but he's terribly lonely." Next Sunday, the little boy wrapped a small object in a piece of paper, went downstairs to his doorway, and, when the old servant who did the marketing came by, said to him, "Look, sir, will you please give this to the old gentleman across the way? I have 2 tin soldiers. This is one of them, and I want him to have it, because I know he's terribly lonely." The old servant looked very pleased as he nodded, and took the tin soldier across to the house, and later he brought back a message inviting the little boy to come over and pay a visit. Happily, the little boy asked his parents' permission, then went across to the old house. The brass knobs on the railings shone brighter than ever. One would think they had been especially polished in honor of his visit, and the little trumpeters carved in tulips on the doorway seemed to puff out their cheeks and blow with all their might. "Tra-tra-ta! The boy approaches! Tra-tra-ta!" Then the door opened. The whole hallway was hung with old portraits of knights in armor and ladies in silken gowns, and the armor seemed to rattle and the silken gowns rustle. Then there was a flight of stairs that went a long way up and a little way down. And then the little boy came out on a balcony. It was very dilapidated, with grass and leaves growing out of holes and long crevices, for the whole balcony outside, the yard, and the walls were so overgrown that it looked like a garden. But still it was just a balcony. There were old flower pots with faces and donkey's ears, and flowers growing out of them just as they pleased. One of the pots was almost brimming over with carnations, that is, with the green part. Shoot grew by shoot, and each seemed to say quite distinctly, "The air has blessed me, and the sun has kissed me and promised me a little flower on Sunday. A little flower on Sunday." Now the little boy entered a room where the walls were covered with pigskin and printed with golden flowers. "Gilding fades fast, but pigskin will last," said the walls. There were heavily carved easy chairs there, with high backs and arms on both sides. "Sit down, sit down," they cried. "Oh, how I creak! I know I'll get the gout like the old cupboard. Oh!" And at last, the little boy came into the room where the bay window was, and there sat the old man. "I thank you for the tin soldier, my young friend," he said, "and I thank you again because you came over to see me." "Thanks, thanks," or perhaps "creak, creak," sounded from all the furniture, and there was so much of it in the room that pieces seemed to crowd in each other's way, trying to get a look at the little boy. In the middle of the wall hung a painting of a beautiful lady, young and happy, but dressed as in olden times, with clothes that stood out stiffly and with powdered hair. She neither said...